Now, this morning, I was preparing, and I got my stuff ready. I got my slides ready, and I felt God say, I believe it was God saying, don't make notes, just refer to your slides. And guess what? The projector doesn't work. Now, I think that's a little bit of a battle thing. So this morning, we will get the slides up after this service so you can hear them. Let's hear them. So you can see them. Anyway, so I'm kind of excited this morning that God has things to say to us. I mean, as we were in worship, you felt God at work, yes? And the Spirit is here, and God has stuff for us today. He has things to do in our lives, things to speak to us. Let's just pray. Father God, this morning, I just want that whatever I share is your word, not my word. Take out me, and may your Spirit breathe through this morning. May your presence be in what is spoken. We pray it in Jesus' name. So, we've been looking at certainty in uncertain time, and we're looking at the story of God, really. We started in Genesis, and we looked at how in Genesis it was said to Adam that, you know, the snake would bite your heel, but you will crush his head. And it was a picture of what Jesus would do. I don't know if you remember that. Last week we looked at Noah, and that there was the picture of the promise of the rainbow, that God never again would flood the earth. And there was a promise of God's second chances and all of those things in that. Tim gave a great word. If you didn't hear it, go listen to it online. And so we're looking at the fact that this story of God started in the beginning of Genesis, goes all the way through to Jesus' coming, and carries on even now until Jesus' return. There is a big story, and we are all a part of it, yes? And so we're looking at that. And this week we come to Abraham. And as I was looking at Abraham, I thought, goodness me, really, I should have taken 3 weeks for Abraham, because there's so much in this guy's story. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you good at waiting? Are you a patient person? Now, when I was at school, I was amazed at this because a couple of students came to me and said to me, Mr. Brown, you're one of the most patient teachers I know. And I stood there and went, really? Anyway, I'm not naturally a patient person. You might see me as patient. That's something maybe God has developed in me and had to change in me. Naturally, I want things to happen. I want things to come to pass quickly. When we first got to Brazil, I remember going to various places like the supermarket. We used to have to walk down the road and go to this little supermarket near us. And you need to allow about an hour to get through the checkout, because they didn't have self-checkouts. You know, here we go to the checkout, we're in, we're out, bang. Hour, sometimes you'd have the queue back down the aisles, you'd join it, and everyone there was calm, you know. I mean, people in Rio are not known for being completely calm, but they were calm because that was life, you know. You just have to wait, nothing you can do about it, there's too many people. And if I had to pay the money in the bank, you know, I'd have to go and allow a two-hour slot in my morning to go to the bank to get in and pay the money, because again, there was a big queue. I learnt waiting, I learnt patience in some ways through that. Though today, I would rather go to the self-checkout, get in and get out, you know. All of those things, we want instant results, don't we? And I don't know whether there's times in your life as well where you've gone, I've been waiting so long, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to do it. And then you've tried your solution, and actually it's made matters worse. Anyone done that? Yes? Yeah, we do that, don't we? We tend to try and fix the things, and they go wrong. Now, Abraham's story has both of those elements in it. The thing of waiting. His process was long. We tend to like things to happen quickly. We live in a world where you put things in the microwave, you look it up online, it all happens like this. God's process is not that. God's process is a long process. It's a work in your life. It's a lifetime's process. It's not going to all get fixed overnight. It's not always going to be healed. Sometimes God does things very quickly, yes, but sometimes he's in the business of preparing us, yes? And Abraham was that case. So, we are going to start looking at this. Now, in the story of Abraham, and the story we're going to look at, one name came out of who God is. There are many names in the Bible that God is given to represent something of his character. And one of those names is Jehovah Jireh. Now, who knows what the word Jehovah Jireh means? Provider. Now, how have you thought about that in a context? Often, we think about it, I need something. I need something material. And we say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That is not the context of where that reference comes from, because it comes from this story. And if you look in Genesis 22:14, Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. We're going to come to that story and understand where this name, Jehovah Jireh, came from. Now, I had a wonderful slide with Abraham's backstory on it. I was going to try and give you this overall picture of Abraham's life. And it goes from Genesis 12 all the way through, well, to Genesis 21 and continues on. But basically, Abraham is called, okay? And God makes a covenant with him. We're going to hear from that in a minute from Jeffrey, okay? He makes a promise to him and he leaves his country. God tells him, go, leave your country, go to the land I'm showing you. I'll be with you. He leaves the country with his nephew Lot, okay? So that's Genesis 12. Then Lot and Abraham get too big, like they have too many sheep and they're people are arguing with each other, so they decide to separate. Lot goes one way, Abraham goes the other, okay? What happens next? Then Abraham is promised a son. Now, his wife, at this point, Abraham's called Abram, and Sarah is called Sarai, okay? They can't have children, and God promises, he says, you will have a son. However, they try to fix the problem. Okay, so Abraham sleeps with the servant girl. You find, you know, you can go and watch soap operas or you can read the Bible. Because honestly, in soap operas, we see all kinds of things happen. In the Bible, it happens. Sarah's like, look, go sleep with Hagar. We'll get a child because I can't have a child. Let's try and fix this. And Abraham gives in. They do that and Hagar has a child. That child is Ishmael. Now, another name of God comes from this story because eventually Hagar's kicked out along with her son and there is another nation born from Abraham and that nation is really the Arabic nation, okay? It comes from Ishmael. That's why they talk about Father Abraham as well in the Islamic faith, okay? But here we have this happen. They're kicked out. Now, when they're out in the wilderness, God speaks to Hagar because she says, I'm going to die. And he says, I see you. And it's a name for God, the God who sees, which is El Rohi. I think that's how you say it, I'm not sure. But basically, God is saying, even when something has been done that is wrong, God can use the situation, okay? So in your life, maybe something has happened that is wrong. And God doesn't say, no, that's good, it's okay. He says, no, that's wrong, but I see. I know, I understand, I feel your pain, I know where you're at, and I'll be with you in it, yeah? And so, this nation was born through a mistake, through a stepping in front of God, all of those things. Then, Genesis 17, God reaffirms the covenant with Abraham, and circumcision becomes a sign of the covenant. Now, it's a weird thing, isn't it, this whole thing? And it's a little bit sensitive to talk about. But here's an interesting fact, okay, about this whole thing, okay? Reproductive organ means that it's life moving down the generations. There's a picture in this symbol of covenant to Abraham that there is a cutting away of sin, but not only from our lives. Now, if you think about it, last week we talked about Noah. God caused the flood, didn't he? Okay, this week we're talking about God birthing a nation. And when he's saying that, I'm cutting off into the generations as you reproduce in the generations that curse from previous generations. You will be a new nation, a nation of priests and kings, yes? And so there was a symbolic thing to this sign that was given to the people of Israel. And we can take it today as well. God is saying, I want to cut off from you the sin in your life. Paul in Scripture talks about cutting off, a circumcision of our hearts, a change of our lives, yes? Okay, so that symbol was given as a picture. I'm running through this stuff. Then, finally, Genesis 21, Isaac's born, okay? And Ishmael sent away, as we said, and then we come to this test of Abraham, all right? So, what we're going to do now, that gives you the backstory. This is over generations, well, not generations, over decades, this whole story. If you want to read it, go and read from Genesis 12 all the way through. I recommend it because there's so much you can learn from it. I'm just trying to give you the highlights, all right? You'll be able to read a slide. You can go look these things up eventually. So we're going to move on. The covenant with Abraham. I'm going to ask Jeffrey to come and read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, please. Thank you. Here we are. Come and join us. Thank you, Jeffrey.
It's a pleasure. I'm reading from the NIV, chapter 12, the book of Genesis. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you."
Amen. Thank you. Now, great. That is the covenant, really, with Abraham. Now, you can read it. I've put here, if you go to Genesis 15, Genesis 17, there are other references to this covenant, you know, and that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand on the shore, as the stars in the sky. And what was he talking about? Isaac would be his son. Isaac would be the father of the nation of Israel. We're going to come to that in a minute. Okay. Now, when the covenant was made, I think if you look in Genesis 15, there was a sacrifice. There was this thing where they would take animals and kill them. In fact, it's a bit gruesome. Again, read the Bible. He cuts these animals in half and he puts them on the ground and he walks through them and he falls into a deep sleep. And God speaks to him and reiterates the covenant to him. Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because a covenant is sealed by blood. Okay, in the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice of blood. Then, if you look on, when we get further on, there was a sacrifice in the temple, wasn't there? They used to sacrifice a lamb or an animal for their sins, okay? And this picture of sacrifice and blood points forward to Jesus' sacrifice and blood on the cross and a sealing of the covenant through blood. But once Jesus had died, there was no longer any need for anyone else's blood. Make sense? But the point of this, and I'm going to say this, is when you come to marriage, I'm going to briefly mention marriage. Marriage is a covenant relationship, and there is a sealing of that relationship through the bond of making love, yes? And when that happens, okay, it is like this covenant, there is a cutting, there is a uniting. It's there to seal two people together. It's a spiritual act. It's a wonderful thing God has given to us. And I'm just briefly going to mention this. We might have to teach on this a little bit. But the point is, that act is something God has given us. It's a wonderful blessing to seal two people together. And when I was at school, I'd try and explain this to the kids. Guys, this is such an important thing and a wonderful blessing, but it seals two people together. So if you're going to have multiple relationships, you get tied to other people. And that is not really what God wants for you. He wants you to be bonded to someone that you love and you are covenanted to. Now, those things go wrong. I'm stood here as an example of that. But God desires that we are together in a covenant relationship. And so we understand from this picture here, that is what God is saying about his relationship to us. We are sealed with him, but the marriage relationship is a sealing together in a similar way. Okay, so then God promises that Abraham will have many descendants, and he says, you'll become a great nation. Now, let's talk about Israel briefly. God promised them a land, and that land was the land of Israel. And we read at the beginning of the year about Joshua going in and taking that land. It is covenanted to them. And it says in the Bible, we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They're a blessed people. They're a people under this covenant that God made to him. And God doesn't change his mind. He doesn't just suddenly go, that covenant's taken away. It's no longer there. It's fulfilled, as we're going to see. So we must pray for the people of Israel. And we do believe and we accept that they have a land. Many nations around them want that land gone. You know, when we look at this, many of those nations there. If you want to go back to where the trouble started, it started with this point, you know, Hagar having a child, Ishmael, which wasn't supposed to be the way it was. And that tension has gone on down the generations, yes? So we pray for Israel and we bless them. Now, if you want to understand how to pray, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But the other thing is, I read in Exodus 19 the other day, that the Jewish people were told, when there are foreigners in your land, you know, you must treat them like you would want to be treated because you too were foreigners in Egypt, yeah? And so the two things we can pray as well is that the people in their land are also loved by God and precious. So we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray also for peace over all peoples in that land. And thank God at the moment it seems like there is a peace, yes? But we pray that both sides love God. And ultimately, if you want to pray a key thing, pray that they all understand who the Messiah is. Pray that they understand Jesus. I know, I've heard of places in Israel where there are churches where there are Jews and people from Gaza, Arabic people worship Jesus together and are at peace. And Jesus brings peace, doesn't he? Okay. So when we're thinking about Israel, there is a covenanted land. There is a land promised to the people of Israel and it's their land. Okay. But we also need to understand God loves all people. And that's the next bit of this. It said, you will be blessed, but all nations will be blessed through you. Now, what was that pointing to? It was pointing to the fact that Jesus would come through the nation of Israel, yes? And that one day there would be a Redeemer that would be here for every person on earth and that every nation would be grafted in. Paul talked about being grafted in to the nation of Israel. So salvation is for all mankind, yes? And we all have the opportunity now to enter into that relationship. So we see here in the covenant, again, the pointing forward to Jesus' coming, okay? And we mentioned the sign of the covenant was the circumcision, a cutting away of sin and brokenness. We mentioned that earlier, didn't we? And I wonder this morning in our own lives, are there things that we need to go, actually, God, I need you to take that away from my life. I need you to change that. God always has forgiveness for us, but there's always things that can change in us, isn't there? I know there are in my life, you know. So let's move on then. So God makes this promise, Isaac comes. The promise is fulfilled, Isaac is here. However, let's read the next story, which I've asked Sarah to read us, which is Genesis 22. This is a difficult story, actually, but let's listen.
I'm going to read from verses 1 to 17. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him with two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not fear, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Now, if we look at that in the context of today, it's horrific, yes? I mean, if you think about this, I remember teaching this in school, and I'd use the Bible the Bible series. I don't know if you've watched the Bible series, but there's a moment in it where they show this whole incident, and you can watch it. And as you watch it, you see the kind of angst in Abraham thinking about what this means. And then you see Sarah seeing him go off and wondering, I wonder what he's doing. And then, you know, obviously he gets up there and the worry on his son's face. All of those things, when you think about them, this is insane, isn't it? But you need to understand the context of the time and what's going on. At the time, the society was polytheistic. They had many gods, and people would worship these gods, okay? And sometimes they would make sacrifices to appease their gods. It was what they did because, oh, the gods are unhappy with me. We must make an appeasement to the gods. And one of the things they did sometimes was to sacrifice children. It was horrendous, wasn't it? And it was wrong. And so Abraham had been led by God. God had spoken to him, and then God tested him. Now, just imagine, there's a number of things in this story we can take, but just imagine, God has said to you, this is my promise for you. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to bring you there, and you'll get there. And you walk in, and then suddenly God says, okay, now I want you to sacrifice that promise. I want you to give it up. Okay? Actually, I see a pattern here in life. Okay? God often gives you a vision for something and he says, go for it, get there. You get there just on the verge of getting it. He says, okay, give it back to me. Because who knows best what to do with the thing God has given you? God. Okay? And he often says, here it is, hand it over and I'll make something even better out of it. And then when we do that, look what happened here, okay? He hands over his son. He's ready at that moment. What happens? An angel shows up and says, Abraham, stop. Now, there's a number of things here. It was basically God showing in his continuing revelation of who he was that he didn't demand this kind of sacrifice. It wasn't the kind of God he is. So he was showing Abraham, and this is where this name, Jehovah Jireh, comes from. The Lord shall supply on the mountain of the Lord. He looked up and he saw a ram caught in the bush, yes? And he took the ram and he sacrificed the ram. Well, what does that symbolize for us today? Of course, it was a picture of what Jesus would do. That actually, through the death and resurrection of the Lamb, Jesus the Lamb, the Son of God, we would have salvation. And of course, that sacrifice that Abraham had to make, he didn't end up making because God provided the sacrifice. So when we're looking at the name Jehovah Jireh, it's not just about physical provision, it's about the provision of salvation. And through salvation, there's so much more, isn't there? There's eternal life, forgiveness, healing, you know, freedom from the things that hold us. All of those things were provided by Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay? And so on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Sacrifice is hard. Okay? And when God demands something of us, he gives us a vision. He says, go, do this. We get there, and then God says, now, give it up. And we're like, what are you saying? I've just entered into this. What are you doing? And then we give it to him and we realize actually the sacrifice we have to make is not as big as we thought because in the end, he provides. He makes the sacrifice. He gives Jesus. Just imagine the picture of Abraham giving up his son. I know as a father, that's something you would never, ever want to do. Ever. You know, and yet he was willing to do that, but God stops him. And then God himself gives his own son. God himself becomes human and dies on a cross for us. Think about that sacrifice. Think about what he did. So you never have to make that kind of sacrifice. So you are forgiven and restored and loved and healed. Isn't that amazing? And so from this, you can take. Well, ultimately, we're monotheists. There's one God, and God doesn't demand sacrifice in the way that that's happened. But in your own life, if God has called you to something, follow it through. If God asks you to make a sacrifice, do it, because you might find when you do it, the thing you step into is far better than what you thought. When I look back over my life, I've made sacrifices, but then when I've stepped over and beyond and look back, actually, I'm glad I did. Because in actual fact, what God has given has been far greater than what I've tried to give him. Yes? Okay? I wrote a note here on my slide which says, sacrifice is hard. However, God makes the greatest, the ultimate sacrifice, doesn't he? Amen? Okay, we're going to bring that to a close now. And today, I think there's a few things to take away, and I've written down some questions here. But before I read those questions out, when we look at the covenant, I think the question is, are there things in your life that you need to cut away? Are there things that God is saying, I want a new day for you. I want a new generation. I don't want you to be under that kind of curse, if you like, that's come. Or those things that seem to hold you. I can cut those away and give you a new way forward. The other question is, well, have you been waiting a long time for something from God? You know, when the waiting gets long, we can tend to give up. I remember years ago there was a verse given to us which was, you need to persevere, is in Hebrews 10. You need to persevere. So when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. In other words, when we're going through difficult times, it can feel like we've come to a brick wall and we want to stop. And it's often at that moment we give up. Whereas if we'd persevered and pushed through, actually the thing God was going to give us was just over the other side. Yeah? And we need to learn what it is to wait and know that there is a process, just like Abraham. All those verses in Scripture, all those things that happened until his son was born. And then even then, when his son was born, he said, give it up. You know, it's a process. It's not the instant. It's not the society we live in. God is different, okay? Are there sacrifices God is calling you to make? What is the sin or brokenness you need cutting away? We mentioned that. And have you, I mean, this morning, I hope, I mean, there's possibly people here who haven't really accepted what Jesus did for you on the cross. Have you really gone, I know you died for me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me and is now Lord, and I want him in my life. If you haven't asked him to be Lord of your life, this morning ask him to be, because it is the best life. Doesn't mean life will just be instantly easy, but it means that you have someone who will never leave you or forsake you, who will be alongside you through every difficult circumstance or hard situation. And he will help you and he will do miraculous and amazing things, but he will be with you always. Okay? And this morning, my last question is, what do you need from Jehovah Jireh? Jehovah Jireh, that verse that says, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it's said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. On the cross, Jesus provided salvation. In Greek, it's sozo, which is a far bigger word than we understand of salvation. It's a whole salvation, spirit, soul, and body, society, the world. You know, God has provided healing, freedom, eternal life, all of those things through his cross. And this morning, as we share communion later, maybe there's something you need to bring and say, God, I need a healing. God, I need provision. Maybe it is physical provision. God, I just need salvation this morning. What is it as we share that? So that's my word for us this morning. And I just think I would just pray before we move on. Let's just pray. Father God, this morning as we look at this word and as we look at Abraham, there's so much in this story. But today we know you are Jehovah Jireh. That on the mountain of the Lord it was provided. The lamb was slain for us. You blessed the nation, but then you blessed all nations through that nation, through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we all have the possibility of entering into a relationship with you. So this morning we pray that we'll bring our brokenness, we'll bring our sin, we'll bring our hurts and our healings, and we'll find them at the foot of your cross where love and mercy meet. In Jesus' name, amen.